This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Yo, you cut me too deep. I think I'm dying here, man.
Welcome to the 3B Video Deep Cut Podcast.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Aw, yeah. It's that time again for another bi-weekly podcast with your hosts, Rotten Roger DeMarco and...
One ticket. Round trip. Hurry up, boy. You don't want to miss the bus. This is Evil in the Back Room.
Oh, yeah. And here we are, finally, on the sixth entry.
We're
of
done.
The
This is the final nightmare. This is the last in the series.
I don't think that's how that works. I think you can't kill the killer until the grosses go down, baby.
No, it's in the title, the final nightmare. There's no more Freddy after 1991, man. This is it. This is the coup de grace of the series. Next week we'll be moving on to a new franchise. Definitely not any more Elm Streets after today.
You might want to check IMDb because they kept going.
You what? But, you mean this movie lied?
It definitely lied. Let me tell you. Let's go ahead and get this disclaimer out of the way immediately, because 99.99999% of the motherfucking internet and the world, it seems like, just despises this movie, and you almost get attacked for liking this movie. But guess what? Evil and I like this fucking movie, so we're going to have some fun.
You get attacked for liking anything, period, anymore. But yeah, I don't know. People just don't like to have fun.
No. Well, you like that new Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Ugh.
Mild sidebar. My only issue, really, I mean, outside of like the one of the main characters looking like it's Pat the movie with the wardrobe. I was just like, wow, for a dude who's like in his 70s, story-wise, an inbred 70-year-old plus man moves better then at 70 than I do, maybe I ever have. So, yeah, that's my only real issue is like, wow, I don't ever recall moving that well today. I can't imagine moving that much faster in 30 more years.
Movie magic, baby. Movie magic. Yeah. Also, it doesn't hurt that the dude under the mask was probably, like, in his late 30s. But, that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother.
But, to tie it in, speaking of somebody that is still super young but playing it like he's much, much older, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, just by his body language and what he's not doing in this movie, it's like physically, like he's telling you, like he's done. Even though, yes, a decade, 12 years down the road, he's gonna move better, faster, and stronger in Freddy vs. Jason than he's done in the previous two nightmares we've talked about.
Well, you know, stuntmen. But
no, you're telling me that's not Robert Englund kicking the shit out of Ken Kersinger.
I'd say about 75% of all that action is somebody else. But, here we are. God, dude, I love this movie. I can very vividly remember when this movie came out and being so excited.
Same. I remember the trailers. I remember going to the drive-in.
Man, see? Did you get to see it in 3D in the drive-in?
Yeah, remember clear as day going to the drive-in to see it, and they handed us the 3D glasses, which are the same ones we have now in our possession, you and I both. Mm-hmm. And I remember them, like the usher guy, when we drove in, he's like, be sure to, drop these off on your way out when you leave.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, we're not giving these things back. What?
They say Freddy's dead on them.
Yeah, no. I was like, we'll just tell him we forgot. But lo and behold, nobody was wanting those things back when we drove. We just left.
Right. Well, and they're also paper, which is so like.
What are they going to do with them? Recycle them?
Sweaty. Yeah, so it's like you get sweaty and like ruin the cardboard.
We
like,
weren't recycling in 1991.
I don't believe so.
We were just throwing trash indiscriminately out the window all the time.
Right. Making Indians weep.
Or Italians.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But I can just so vividly remember the excitement I had for this movie. I didn't get to see it in theaters. I sadly did not go see this in theaters. But I've told this story numerous times. When this movie was getting its promotional push, Robert Englund was in a city near me.
Did a
Q&A, and he wasn't giving out autographs, but I stood in line for fucking hours upon hours upon hours with my mom to meet him, and I gave him a picture I drew of him, and he was so fucking cool. He had this like leather satchel thing, not like a briefcase, like a weird bag.
A purse.
And he got an 8x10 out and signed it for me. And then got on the microphone and did the Freddy voice and was like, nobody else asked me for one, you know, just this kid. It was really cool. It was very special. But at that point in my life, I was going through a whole bunch of stuff with my mom and dad getting divorced. And we had like a death in the family that was really like my first taste of death. And so seeing Robert Englund as this little maybe 5'9" on a good day.
I was going to say 5'8".
Yeah, balding, just a sweet, unassuming man in these big, giant glasses. And knowing that that's what Freddy looks like under the makeup, which, you know, this is before I got into Fangorias and all of that stuff. This is actually the jump-off point. Meeting Robert Englund was the jump-off point. So
yeah, this is for the children out there. It's pre-internet days where you didn't know these things unless you were actually there to see it.
Yes. You couldn't just flip open the old flip phone and watch the TikToks or whatever.
My gosh. To continue in that context, could you imagine our children wrapping their head around like that logic today? Like telling them, "Oh yeah, I watched wrestling shows weekly, building up to a pay-per-view that would happen 2 months down the road, and I wouldn't get to see that pay-per-view until the magazine came out a month later, and that was the best I could do." Until several months after that, when it finally hit video, because by golly, no one in this house was ordering pay-per-view for me, so I would just have to wait a month to see images of this show.
Right, and paint the pictures in your brain of the match that went down.
Not that, you know, instant gratification of seeing and knowing things and getting the behind-the-scenes curtain. A behind-the-scenes thing? That was like a big deal, like on network TV for like, I think Part 4 was the first one, I think, to really get that I can remember anyway, getting a big like making of on TV that you got to see once.
Yeah, and that got released on VHS, but it's kind of tough to track down.
Oh yeah.
One of these days I'll get it for you.
I've dug it up on the YouTubes. It's in my Elm Street folder on YouTube of videos that are, some have been there for a long time and some occasionally get taken down. But I found it and I've since watched it. But yeah, that was the extent of behind the scenes stuff you were able to acquire. Gosh, probably until DVDs kind of came around.
I talked about it once or twice before, but there used to be a TV show on Discovery called Movie Magic that I religiously, like no matter what was going on, if I knew Movie Magic was coming on, I was either like right there or I had it recorded so I could watch it later. And that was how you got like glimpses into how they made like Terminator 2 or The Abyss or whatever. A lot of Cameron right there. I don't know why I went double Cameron, but
timely. Yeah, 1990. Dude. Cameron is ruling the cinema world.
You got a hard on for Cameron. Big one. Right. But, Scream 2 reference, deep cut.
Another tie-in I can do is I was re-listening to Never Sleep Again at work today, just in order to prep a little bit for refreshing my mind for today's topic. And this is, of course, directed by Rachel, how would you say, Talalay? The fine director of such feature films as Tank Girl as well. But she came up through the ranks, was like just someone that worked on the production crew through every Elm Street, and this is her graduation gift, I guess, to get to direct the final one. Mm-hmm. I guess one of the days, like one of the dailies or something, got mixed up, and Cameron's T2 of Schwarzenegger on the motorcycle got sent to them by accident instead of their Freddy's Dead bits that day, and they're like,
"Don't tell James."
They don't know that they saw it, but they saw it—a nice big Austrian.
Austrian butt.
Yeah, and let me tell you, for this being her first foray in the Elm Street franchise, like you said, she was a money person or whatever, hither and thither throughout the franchise, but as a first-time director, she's very ambitious. This is a very ambitious film, and even though it had a million things working against it with the confusion of the 3D, like when do you put the glasses on, yada yada.
The tone, like she was like,
it's very Looney horror. Tunes.
Yeah, once a Looney Tunes funny aspect, but like, well, if you're wanting that, why are you even still in the horror genre? You still have horror elements here. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're like, you're trying to balance a weird beam here on which one you're trying to dip a little more into here and there.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Between this and the Dream Child, least favorite Krueger look, which one?
Oh, man, they're about 50-50.
This one's very shiny.
This, gosh, I would, I'd probably say this one because it just seems so barely Freddy makeup. It seems like it's, like each movie there's proportionately, I feel, more Robert and less Freddy.
Right.
And this one I feel is probably like 70-30 Robert Englund and 30% Freddy. Like, it's done right in New Nightmare. That's when it's flipped on the amounts.
Yeah.
But yeah, here I think it's more mostly, I just see Robert Englund more than I see Freddy in it.
I think the problem with this movie is the, one, the makeup is very smooth. It's not as textured as previous installments. Two is the paint job of the appliances. It's very, like, bubblicious. It's hard to explain. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a pink, chewed-up bubble gum. There's not, like, not deep recesses for shadows and shit.
Do you think they did that, like, subconsciously, maybe even to, like, they soften. Know that, yeah, like they know that kids are like the real core audience without it ever admitting that they're the core audience. Like, well, if we soften his look a little bit, don't make him as terrifying looking, maybe it, you know, bumps the grosses in that category we can't technically quantify because we can't advertise to kids because it's a rated R film, but we know they're going to see it.
I don't think it was a fucking accident at all. I don't think it was subtextually at all. Like, Rachel Talalay and Bob Shea, pretty much all the goblins at New Line Cinema.
DeLuca.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And just like you said, kind of tiptoeing to promoting to children, even though it's an R-rated film, you know. And going back to that R-rated film aspect, and like you said, the tone, here's my big issue, is that it's very Looney Tunes-esque, but then there is this subplot of fucking Orville Ketchum raping his daughter.
Yeah, there's that weird balance thing. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? It's like, if you want to go Looney Tunes, okay, go there, but you're like, you're really teetering on this, molestation angle
aspect, yeah,
and literally, like, that's one of the two things that really put the brakes on me watching it more than I would chalk it up to however you want to, but I'm not really comfortable with that, and oddly enough, I'm just as uncomfortable with the squeak of the hamster smashing, which
yeah,
I literally could not. There's only three kills in this movie. That's, you know, of the characters. I mean, we get a couple more, you know, flashback style when we're in, you know, Freddy's noggin. But that was
him killing his wife or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, who do I give the brown panty to? I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to give it to the hamster.
Oh, nice. The brown panty award goes to the hamster.
I would say the wife, but I'm like, come on, you know what you're getting into marrying this fucking guy, and like, you don't confront him when right. you find that fucking man cave of murder. You just leave.
You call the police, which I love.
Call the police.
But I love the fact that all those flashbacks make that seem like it was in the 50s. I'm not sure of the timeline, but it doesn't seem like it was in the 50s when Freddy was convicted. But there's a very, 50s style to the houses, to the clothing. So I always thought that was kind of odd. But my brown panty award, it's tough, man. But I gotta give it to Spencer. I love Spencer, despite the fact that he's just a fucking burnout goomba.
I also love Spencer, but yeah, there's a whole different aspect of issue I have why he didn't get it. But okay, I guess if I'm just looking it up, Frederick Charles Krueger. Born, I don't know how the hell I come up, May 1942. So you would guess he's roughly
late 30s, early 40s?
We'll say 35. So let's do a little math here. 1942 plus 35. So, geez, that would put it in 1977. I mean,
I guess that makes more sense.
Yeah, especially with his green sweater thing that he's wearing and looking like that 70s show kind of wardrobe. So, yeah, mid-70s.
Well, and then that also makes sense that Nancy would have been very young because the first Elm Street takes place in 84. So she would have been very young when her sibling was killed, which is the sidebar plot line to the original Elm Street, which was cut. But, yeah, that makes sense. I'm okay with that. I'm happy now.
A 7-year gap between when he was potentially killed and when Nightmare on Elm Street officially begins.
When he comes back. Yeah. Boy, the other thing that's really fun about this movie is the fact that Springwood is now... like it's desolate. It's like childless.
Oh, this is ripe. This place is ripe for an X-Files episode. Like, I'm just waiting for Mulder and Scully to roll up, and Mulder be like, "This town just gone crazy. There's no children here anymore." And Scully be the one going, "There's no kids. Town fair, no kids."
Yeah. Looky, I got your nose. Boy, that's another thing too about this movie is it is. It is absolutely filled to the gills with celebrity cameos. You got Johnny Depp popping back up. You've got Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold. You've got Alice Cooper.
Which is hilarious that Johnny Depp did Freddy's Dead, and then Wes Craven was too like timid to ask him to come back for a new Nightmare. I'm like, dude, did you not see the last movie he did that he came back for? Like, if he came back for that, he'll come back for you.
Yeah, New Nightmare is a goddamn masterpiece, and we'll get to that in 2 fucking weeks. But, yeah, this movie's all over the place, but as a kid, I think it was a perfect storm. And I know we've discussed this in many different facets on podcasts, on the channel, hither and thither, near and far. But I feel like it just hit at a perfect time for our age group.
It's so 1990.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's soft on a different level, despite the child molestation angle, which a lot of that stuff, you know, kind of goes over your head when you're that little. Because in 1990, you know, I was 6, so.
Yeah, if all the gay subtext of part 2 was just over my noggin, there's no way that I was picking up that kind of stuff for Freddy's Dead. But yeah, so fucking 1990s. I know Twin Peaks was a big influence at the time, and you got the Goo Goo Dolls on the soundtrack, which I'll just say it, outside, you know, of a couple of one hits here and there from, you know, part 3, 4, and 2 even. Best soundtrack? Possibly this movie?
Possibly you. Yeah, no, it's got a pretty good soundtrack.
Every movie there's maybe one good song. Two at best, and this one there's a handful. I like just about everything that's played. I love the soundtrack to this movie, which also feels so fucking 1990.
Oh, also 100%.
The hair and Spencer playing, which is now like would be $100 collectible, a Ninja Gaiden Tiger Electronics handheld game. Oh my god, fuck those stupid ass.
Those things are terrible.
Oh,
they get them at like Kmart in the toy aisle.
Until that fucker fell off the shelf that sits behind me during the live streams, my T2 electronic tiger game still was functioning.
It's broken now?
Oh yeah, the screen's broke now. It fell and busted. Never did ever beat the damn thing.
Well, no shit. No one can beat a Tiger Electronic game.
Someone out there has beaten a Tiger. If you've beaten a Tiger Electronics game, drop us a comment somewhere. Let us know that you have done the impossible.
It is not possible. I don't believe it. Even if you told me you did, I would say you're a liar. But
you would believe it if I told you I beat T2.
I don't know, man. I never beat it on Nintendo, so... I don't know. I'd imagine it's even way harder on the fucking handheld pile of shit.
Just because you can't see anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, but going back to Spencer, the reason I can't give him a brown panty is I don't know what the fuck he's really on or what his little fucking pinner joint is laced with, but that's not what marijuana does to you. That he's dropping acid or some shit. Or he's doing the tie sticks that have heroin in them or something.
Right. It's a cigarette dipped in acid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's smoking some shit Brad Pitt hooked him up with. That is not, like, what the hell? You do not trip out like that.
I don't know, man. He's a 16-year-old kid. Maybe he can't handle it.
They just had no fucking clue what drugs were in the 1990s. They're like, they're bad. They must make you go, whoa.
Yeah, everything turns tie-dye and sucks you into a video game. It's the whole deal is just because he passes out. So that's all a dream, which that's what weed will do to you. It'll make you fucking tired and close your eyes. So kind of spot on, except for the whole getting sucked into the TV. Yes. But again, he's dreaming. So
in the aspect of you could fall asleep high. Yes, it's very accurate in that.
Yes.
But
you'll burn your palm of your hand with your joint.
But so high, you're unwakeable? Like, they're like, wake him up. He's too wasted. What?
Especially when you're 16. You can wake up fucking any time.
Like, we mentioned that before. Like, why are these teenagers so goddamn tired?
They're very sleepy.
When they sleep, sure. I will grant you, teenagers can sleep for, like, 14 hours without moving. But they can go probably 3 days before they ever get to that point.
Yeah.
So them just being drowsy, I'm just like, what the hell is this? They don't know what sleep is. They don't know what drugs are.
I will say that at an early age, watching this movie, Carlos's mother with the Q-tip, dude, that kind of like freaked me out on a weird like level of puncturing my eardrum, like, because when I was like 6-7 years old, like, my mom would clean my ears.
Yeah, I,
you know, you get out of the bath or whatever and your mom would be like, I'm gonna clean your ears for you. Like, I always had that in the back of my head, like, you're gonna fucking jam that into my eardrum.
I've heard so many people have found that unnerving. I never have, and I can tell this little bit because I know Ma doesn't listen to my podcast. I barely get her to watch my movie. But the wardrobe that Mom wears in that scene, identical almost to what something my mom would used to wear, you know, casually around the house, you know, super late driving you to school, 6 a.m, be wearing something like that. So when I see that, I'm like, oh, that reminds me of what my mom would wear, but she would never... I've never, in real life, never seen a Q-tip that goddamn big. I know they exist.
Go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. Let me tell you, full disclosure, old school, scary Q-tip story from Uncle Roger. In my early 20s, when I got divorced from my first wife, I killed her. The reason we got divorced was because she was a promiscuous gal. I'm going to go ahead and out her because she doesn't listen to this podcast either. So
we're just going to drag everyone over the coals that we know doesn't listen to this shit.
Yeah, fuck you. Which is the problem because a lot of people did. And so when we got divorced, I was terrified that I had contracted some form of sexually transmitted disease. Terrified.
Just pour Listerine across it like they did in Cabin Fever. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's what you do. Well, no. So I go to a clinic, and I had a couple buddies that I worked with who had told me they call it the white light test because it hurts so bad you see a white light. Nowadays, AIDS tests are pretty, like, not invasive, I guess.
Don't know. I haven't had one done recently, so.
So, that Q-tip that goes through fucking Carlos's ear, they grabbed a hold of my
power source
shaft. Yeah, my power source, if you will. Put a little bit of goo on the tip of that fucker. The goo! You know I fuck with the goo. And jammed that fucker down my piss hole. Like, fucking Q-tip deep. And then they kind of wriggle it around and yoink it out. And then they send that out to get tested.
Did so you see white?
Did I what?
Did you see white light?
Yes.
Did your light you flash don't expect before your
that.
Eyes?
Let me tell you. You do not expect that. And
everyone listening to this right now, just all every male listening just crossed their legs and are grabbing their crotch.
They just went, fuck.
Hopefully you're not in public when you're listening to our show and you're like, what's wrong with you? This show gets me.
Yeah. That's a thing that happened, and it was not pleasant, so I have seen Q-tips that big.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You have PTSD about oversized Q-tips.
Yeah, fucking oversized Q-tip.
I never really had any ear infections or things of that nature, we'll say. Right. So,
you never had a drippy faucet?
Never had any issues with the Q-tips. I did always think, also, though, in dealing with Carlos's death here, when... he puts in Freddy's hearing aid, and he's hearing the... I'm like, what the fuck? Is he pulling, like, nails out of his finger when he's pulling, like, those nails out? I was like, is he pulling that shit out of his fingers? And when he drops it, I'm like, those sound exactly like Saturn missiles on 4th of July.
Pulling out those... what do you fucking even call that? It's not a push pin.
It looks like a small nail or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or a sewing needle. Yeah.
Yeah, like a sewing needle.
Because it's a joke on it, so quiet you could hear a pin drop. So he drops a pin, you know, it literally sounds like a Saturn missile going off.
Yep.
And then I love he's got a handful of these things. You wouldn't do that, would you, man?
That was always one of my favorite sight gags, too, in the movie, is the expanding chalkboard. Like, I know how they do it. And when it's especially on Blu-ray, you can see the angle of the boards because it's like it rolls up inside of it or whatever. But boy, is that effective. That is a very effective scene. And the head explosion, top notch. Cartoony, but top notch.
They couldn't get any blood where they were filming that. So that's why they had to do it like look like dust blowing up when his head exploded. But I thought you were going to go with when his hearing aid is out and you have Freddy breaking the fourth wall, telling us to be quiet while he's taking his hat off and fucking leaping around behind him, making all this noise.
That is also glorious. I love that.
That, every time when that movie was new and I would put that on for people, every time that would kill.
Yep, it'll get you.
Like, as you just don't picture. Freddy's the only guy that could do that. Could you picture any other horror icon doing some shit like that? No.
No, no.
Pinhead would look ridiculous doing that.
So... going back to audience participation, I know you and I have talked about this before, but throughout the film, the nursery rhyme is hidden. And there is a chunk of the nursery rhyme that I can never, ever find.
It's not there.
So I'm curious if anybody knows if there was a deleted scene that shows it, or if it is like hidden in the background way deep.
It's 7/8, isn't it? Isn't that the, it's 7/8 is missing?
I think so. I'd have to we didn't rewatch this the day before. So,
you would think we'd remember though, cause I know 9/10 is on the newspapers. 1 and 2 is right. The chalk.
The drawing, yeah.
5/6 I think is on the projector screen that the teacher pulls down.
Right.
So it's either 3/4 or 7/8 that's just never around where I spot it.
And then there's never there's no
why
reference to it. I'd have to watch the film with commentary to see if that's ever even brought up. But it's one of those things that has plagued me since I was a kid. It drives me fucking nuts.
Gosh, I go back and look. Is there a commentary on Freddy's Dead? Is Rachel Talalay doing a commentary? I lost. Now I'm gonna have to go fucking look because if there is, I'm sure I've listened to it and I don't remember it. But yeah, I've also for forever was like, where the hell's the whole thing at? Why is 90% of it here? And where's the last? Where's the rest of it?
Right.
Where did I miss it?
You're the last of the Elm Street rhyme.
And it's so spread out that you're like, I'm going to catch it this time when I'm watching. I will find it. And then you fucking forget about it until you see that cross by the, you see her walk past the newsstand where the newspaper's saying, and you're like, fuck, I've missed it again.
Yeah. God damn it.
I just don't think it's there.
So the other thing that we've been bringing up, obviously, every episode is the vanquishing of Freddy Krueger. Where do you rank this one?
Even when I first saw it, I was like, bullshit. I was like, come on. Weak. I was like, I got a way to get him. Pull him out of the dream. Like, you guys have done that. Like, this is literally, you're just doing part one again.
Yeah, it's the only same thing.
Nancy just set him on fire. You guys blew him up. Because apparently Maggie has commando skills. She's just on fucking point with throwing stars, crossbows, and all this other shit out of nowhere. She was like a counselor or a teacher or whatever at this halfway house, but apparently she's a warrior inside.
Yeah, it comes from all that, having a serial killer for a dad. It's in the blood. Go on.
See, that
try it on.
And maybe that's it, because if she's biological, she's got some of them 100 maniacs or 1,000 maniacs, if you go by some people's logic. Some of that DNA is in there. She's got some crazy.
Knock it off. It's 100. Or whatever the fucking line
it's
is.
It's 100. Let's go. Which, going back to part 5, I'm totally calling bullshit. I'm like, you're going to tell me you're going to stand up on a platform and look down at 100 guys.
In the same clothes.
Yeah, stumbling around wearing the same shit. And you're going to be like, 72, 73, 70. Like, I'd be that other guy. I'd be like, it's 100. Let's go.
Get the fuck out of here. This is bullshit.
You're telling me you're not counting these guys twice? What? Ever. But you're speaking of vanquishing. I did want to ask you, because we were talking about how Freddy has covered his tracks and all that stuff. How do you feel about the weird avenue they go down in this movie where after the three people that he kills, they're erased from existence and memory?
It's very strange. Which suggests that Freddy has far more power than we've been led to believe in the previous entries.
But it's localized. It can only work in Springwood.
Right. It only works on an Elm Street, and every town has an Elm Street. I don't know about that. As a kid, you never question it. But now that we're sitting here and we're talking about it, it's like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. That he could just... because if you think about it, then we're going to get way deep. We're going to be deep talking about butterfly effect shit, because that can't happen. It can't, because if that is... Okay, let's say that's the case. Every person Freddy kills is erased from memory or never existed. At some point, Krueger will have eliminated every person that he has, potentially molested. and kind of changing history so that he would not be burned alive, because those children would have never been born. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's where it gets slippery, and that's where it gets where you're like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know who wrote that.
I was going to go with the best explanation I could give is because technically we're not dealing with the quote-unquote Elm Street children. There's no ties to his past.
Yeah, at this place.
And technically this is outside of Springwood.
This shit looks like fucking Chicago, dude. Straight.
But like this, maybe because there's no 6 degrees of separation with these kids, maybe that's something he's able to do with out of town folks, or
I don't know, but it's fucking weird.
No direct line. Like, it, this is all us speculating on this point. This is what we do with our time, folks. Is
why, yeah.
why are those three not remembered and everyone else apparently is? Like, if this was the case from Jump Street, why is anyone looking for fucking Rod Lane? Like, who's Tina?
Yeah, no shit. Everything, the slate has been wiped clean.
Tina was never my girlfriend.
I wanted to kind of talk about the shoehorning, or the deus ex machina, whatever you want to call it, of Freddy having a daughter. At this point, you know, 1990, we have had a TV series. We've had 5 previous entries. We've had comic books by this point in time. We've had multiple different avenues.
Oh, at this point, I can add to that, because when the VHS came out, there we had a 900 phone number you could call, giveaways for calling that number, which included merchandise from this movie, production jackets, shirts, autograph gloves, graphic novels, CDs,
yep,
the works, the absolute works.
But what I'm saying is there was never, ever, ever, ever mention of him having children. And this kind of...
Children is a weird enough avenue that he was married and living in the suburbs.
Yeah, it's very strange. And at face value, you don't question it, again, just like some of the other stuff that happens in this film. But when you really sit down and think about it, it's like, well, you're just changing all the rules. You're just, you're stepping in and throwing us some new stuff so we can have another movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sitcom that's been on for a while. They're like, well, what do we do to freshen up? Give them a baby.
Yeah, they got a baby now.
Come see the baby. Here's something, though, about that is completely, you look at it completely differently from when we saw it initially, and then if we were to watch this again with adult eyes, the whole, like, who could it be? You're like, no. There's no mystery on who it should be. It technically probably shouldn't even be Maggie. She's probably not even fucking old enough to be the daughter, but to think that John Doe could be, and, like, set the last surviving team, even if he's 19... Like,
yeah, no, false.
You are not the child.
Kay Krueger. I mean, anything from Kevin to Kyle.
Yeah, and also it's,
love that line.
It's completely clueless that you would be his fucking kid. There's no way. Like, Maggie should be in her 40s, I think, by logistical standards, going with this. But yeah, that's something you don't really think about or question. Watching it when we're kids, you're like, oh shit, it could be any of these people.
Oh man, yeah, who is it? Is it, like, Carlos?
it would be just as much sense if it was Yaphet Kotto.
Oh my god. Which, yeah, we haven't even got a chance to talk about him. My boy, Yaphet Kotto, absolutely kills it in this movie.
Okay, I thought of this also today, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to have to ask Raj, because he'll be the man to know. Is this the only slasher icon, and I would even extend that to, like, Maniac Cop and lower-tier slashers, is there any other franchise where a featured black star lived more than one? Like, because we got Kincaid in 3, even though we kill him in 4, and then Yaphet Kotto here, like, 2 horror film slashers where the black character, actually lives. Does any other franchise that you can think of off the top of your head have that? Because I was trying, and I couldn't think of, like, I couldn't think of, like, LL Cool J from from Halloween, and that's
well, and then immediately after that, Busta Rhymes survives Halloween 8. So yeah, I guess two black leads survive.
So Michael Myers, I guess in a way, because I know there was multiple endings on that Halloween where they have a shot where, like, he comes alive and you're assuming he murders
everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone in sight. And then there's the revamping that LL Cool J didn't die, even though he clearly is a dead man.
Yeah. LL Cool J is dead. We're going to get to the Halloween franchise. We're almost done with this one.
He's lost a lot of blood. Well, we're at the end of this one. This is the final nightmare.
That is false, my friend.
Oh, that's right. We got to cover Freddy versus Jason again.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
God damn it. Boy, howdy. Also, one of the things that I wanted to bring up before we get into our other segments is this weird new rule or new thing that's introduced in this film where kind of like it's not necessarily new, but it's presented in a new way. And that is that whatever's happening in the dream happens in real life. Two prime aspects. One is when Spencer's getting fucking tossed all around, which is hilarious comedy gold. But the one that is head-scratchingly, like, just so confusing is when John Doe is walking up invisible stairs.
Oh,
There's no way to have that work in reality. Like,
I thought you were going to go with when he fucking flies through the roof of a fucking moving van.
You know what? That's another one. Thank you for reminding me about that.
I thought that's exactly where you're going. Like, oh yeah, the stairs. I was like, shit, what about when he's flying through the top of a fucking vehicle that's in motion? Like, that should kill him right there.
It absolutely should. Yeah, that's where he died of internal bleeding right there.
He just hits the roof and falls back down.
Yep. Kia, he has asthma.
Fucking mouth to mouth ain't going to save his ass.
Nope, but when John Doe walks up invisible steps, dude, for whatever reason, I even as a kid, I go, well, how do you explain it? That doesn't make any sense. People saw that. That guy saw that.
He may not have seen that, but I think that totally can be a callback to part 3 where Philip walks through a locked door.
You know what? Yeah, you're right, I guess. Son of a bitch. Okay, never mind. I stand corrected. I was just like,
but
what
less
is this?
Sense is him flying through the roof of that fucking van and then falling through invisible spikes in the real world, which I still to this day, every to time I see it, I see all those puncture wounds in real life. He looks like a fucking mattress.
He really does. But you know, you forgot my favorite line in this entire film, which I say all the time to my kids.
Nothing is going to get me off this bed.
I say that one too, but...
Oh, do you think I'm your daddy? Wrong!
I don't know what it is about the way he says that fucking kills me. Kills me.
That's the other thing. There's this a fucking litany of one-liners that maybe no one else thinks are funny, but I know that at least you and I will always think that so many of these fucking lines in this movie are funny. You know they bring him?
Yep. Oh, my God. 1494, Freddy came back to look for more. So, Melissa, yeah. Melissa, we can go all day.
Yeah, some caffeine pills, some coffee, maybe some Coke.
I meant the soda.
Yeah, we didn't talk really a whole lot about John Doe, but what an interesting character he plays. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll stay here sparkless but happy.
Yeah.
Just an interestingly quirky guy, and I totally believe Chris Farley stole that whole fall for Black Sheep.
Saw Freddy's Dead and was like, I could do that real funny, like.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw a dude fall down a hill for the almost entire opening credits sequence?
Dude, and speaking of that, when he goes to climb over the fence and there's the wood pile and he kind of slips, I'm like,
Yeah, that sound he makes is very,
You're like, fuck me, dude. Barefoot on fucking chopped wood. Like, yeah, no. Nope. Where's my stunt man?
And
I'm not doing that.
I don't know what it is. I know I mentioned it in like part three how I love the set decor and lighting and all that shit. I don't know why I fucking love it, but I do. But after he fucking falls down that hill and he gets up and he runs past that tree, I just love that shot of him running like a fall or just coming out of winter, like grassy field, bare trees, and just black sky.
Yeah.
Like it's lit, but it's not. And it's just, I love it.
I feel the same way about when the Elm Street house transforms. Like, a lot of people would see that and think that that's super hokey, but for me, like, that's a miniature.
I like the dead plants that shoot up.
Oh yeah, and then the fucking for sale sign lights on fire, like, come on, dude. The door bleeding, the house like hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that again, like I said, this is a very ambitious movie when you really think about it. Like, they go through Freddy's brain. You got the dream demons, which we have not talked about, those stupid fucking 3D sperm demons.
And bringing a 3D element back, which 3D was dead as Freddy is supposed to be at the end of this movie, when they decided to resurrect it for the finale. And yeah, that was something that was not on the initial home video release. That was just converted to 2D. And then you got it in 3D as an option when the DVD set came out. You got 3D glasses and shit that came with it. But yeah, trying to do 3D, all these visuals and shit, like, it's ambitious. Although I can't lie and say I wouldn't have loved to have seen the Peter Jackson take of the dream.
That's the one where they're all like picking on him and shit?
Yeah, they're beating the shit out of Freddy because he's such a joke, which I can see, which how he looks at the end of part five where he's just mangled and torn up by all the maniacs. I would have loved to have seen an alternate, in a multiverse world, what the dream lover could have been.
I'd watch it for sure.
I'd watch anything.
Yeah, more Krueger now, please.
We're probably the only ones that have been lobbying for Freddy's Nightmares to get a physical release, even though it's a horrible series. I'll go back there and say that. If Cult 45 ever listens, that they were pressuring me to name a least favorite Elm Street, and I refused to do it. But now, after reconsidering, I will totally say none of the movies. I will put that television series in there because I love that series. But goddamn, is that one horrible TV series?
Yeah. Well, I will say this: it's not available for streaming on Shudder, but Screambox did pick up the rights.
How the fuck did that happen? Like, what the fuck is Screambox, and how did they get it?
You can get it on your Roku box, and it's cheap. But Freddy's Nightmares is digitally remastered and looks good. I've seen some photos, but there's already a couple of people already who are gearing up to make bootlegs. So if we don't get an official release, Evil and I will be owning bootlegs of cleaned up Freddy's Nightmares for sure.
And side note is we will only do that when we have no alternative.
Yeah, that's the only way.
We will gladly pay an official price tag for this god-awful fucking TV show any day. As soon as it drops, if it ever actually drops, we will both be buying it day fucking one. We'll get yelled at. I'll take the yelling at from the wife later for spending the money on doing it. Like, you spent how much on a show you fucking hate?
You don't even like it.
You're right, I don't, but I'm going to watch it and own it.
I have to own it. Because I have a bootleg of it that's really rough. And I tried to watch it, but boy, there's a lot of digital artifacting, and it drives me nuts. So, at some point...
And I have the series put on a flash drive from a buddy that I know wherever he got it from, is just someone that recorded it off Chiller TV when that was a thing. So there's all these Chiller TV, like, bumpers and shit on the bottom of the screen. And I was like, and that was the first place I saw it ever come back, was when Chiller TV was on. I was like,
The fucking show.
That TV series is the reason I upped my cable package so I could have Chiller TV. I remember that because I was like, Freddy's Nightmares is on Chiller. Go ahead and change my cable package.
Shut up and take my money.
So I had all the episodes DVR'd. So then I had that cable package for like 6 months and then dropped my cable back down to basic, but still had all the episodes DVR'd. I was like, I'm a genius.
Genius.
Bootlegging in 2009, motherfucker.
That's digital bootlegging right there.
Yeah.
That's taking Chiller TV for a ride.
Yep, I got you. Because I just set my DVR to record every episode. So after like 6 months, I had them all. Ha ha. Genius.
So you're saying after we do this, we're going to review every episode of Freddy's Nightmares?
Oh my God. It would be all right to do a live stream picking out like five of our favorites.
I don't even know if we could do five, like maybe two.
Two? It's the pilot episode, and I'm a missile, I'm a rocket.
Because, spoiler, if you don't know what we're talking about with Freddy's Nightmares, he literally had like a two-year television series that was a Tales from the Crypt-style show where he was essentially the Rod Serling of the series. Occasionally, he would take part in the story, but
yeah.
Most of the time it was a very Tales from the Crypt-like horror show. And there were always two stories per episode with characters that were, like, in passing.
Yeah,
you would, like, one character would pass by another one, and you'd follow that character's story. Sounds kind of neat when I describe it. It's not.
It's so confusing. It's very confusing.
It is the absolute definition of what I say a fever dream feels like. Like, when you watch something and you're really fucking sick, and you're not quite sure what you watched when you're done. That's how you'll feel watching this. If you're 100% fine, you'll feel sick. Like, there's something wrong with me? Like, did I pass out in sections? Like, hardcore Freddy fan, both of us. And both of us are like, we're going to watch, like, all the episodes today. And we'll get through three of them and go, I'm good. You good? I'm good.
Yeah, it's like torture. It's a really it's really hard to explain. It's such a difficult watch.
It's quite the anomaly.
Yeah.
It is quite the anomaly. And again, we will pay high prices. We will find ways to own this shit.
I'll go up to $60 for fucking Freddy's Nightmares 2 seasons, Blu-ray, cleaned up special features.
You know?
That's the cutoff right there, $60.
You know, I will... Fuck. What is my cutoff that I could do without, like, asking for permission for?
being an adult.
Yeah, I'll say $69.99.
Not a penny more.
Not a penny. If it's a penny more, I will ask before I purchase. But $69.99 is the cutoff point I feel I can purchase and then deal with what the hell is this? Freddy's Nightmares, I bought it with $70.
You think you could just sneak it on the shelf without being noticed? See, that's the beauty of having a video store in my basement. Is if I go to the grocery store or whatever to buy milk or eggs and I see a $5 movie or even a $35 movie, I can purchase that fucker and then be like, I'm going to go downstairs real quick and just put that fucker on the shelf. And then, you know, 6 months later, my wife will be like, do we have this? Yeah, we got that. We've had it for a long time. Huh? Like, yep.
That I could do, except most 90% of the time I'm not carrying cash. All the cash just goes to the wife, and she kind of disperses that amongst the bills. So that's me breaking out my Amazon card. So,
oh yeah,
and I live into that world of she's like, "Why is the Amazon bill have a $70 statement on it this month?" I don't know.
It's weird.
Maybe I should call and dispute it.
Yeah, you better ask the kids.
Just me calling Roger, like, pretend you're Amazon.
Excuse me, sir. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take care of that for you. But on that note, we got sidetracked.
But we're still talking Elm Street.
That's true, but we're finished discussing Freddy's Dead, so it's time to move on to the next segment, Evil. What would that be?
Well, we're not quite done talking Freddy's Dead, but in order to move on, we got to do what everyone else in the world does, is hate this movie. Mm. And what better way to look up hatred for Freddy's Dead than... the epitome of accurate highly professional critiqued film reviews, we go to Amazon for the one-star reviews.
Hated it.
Just a couple today since, you know, I know we've covered this in a live, so I'm sure most of these have been done already. So first up is from our new favorite Amazon film reviewer, Clement Billhorn.
Billhorn, baby.
On September 2nd, 2018, he says, one star, this movie is not the same as the theatrical version. I saw this movie in the theater as a kid. Me too. And the latter part of the movie was in 3D. It was in all of the commercials and previews, and I still have the glasses from when I saw it back then. Kudos to you. The streaming version here has no 3D.
Ooh.
I literally put on the glasses at the point in the movie where the audience was supposed to, and it never happened.
And I got a headache.
They should have put it in the description. Do not rent this if you're expecting the original version. I love this dude's watching this shit at home, streaming, went and got his antique 3D Freddy's Dead glasses, put them on in his living room, sat down, and like, this shit's not working.
Bullshits!
Oh, this is not worth the $4.99 I paid.
Just own it, and then you can have it in 3D.
We don't own anything anymore, dude. In 2018 when this was done, yeah, we're well into the age of it's in the cloud. I don't need to own it. I need more space for other things in my house.
The cloud.
So one more for this. Again, we'll keep the one stars nice and light. Oh, all right. Just I didn't want to repeat a bunch of them. So Daryl K. McKay.
K. McKay. Okay.
Daryl K. McKay. March 18, 2015. He says one star, terrible movie. Terrible movie. Starts off boring and only gets worse.
Boringer.
Freddy's Dead. The Boringer.
Is that a word? Boringer? Like clum?
Yeah. In the next movie, it's going to be the boringest. It blows me away that they can take an original hit movie that was actually scary and make more and more consecutive flops. Sometimes you need to just let an original movie ride and remain a classic, and then people will continue to watch it. I mean, seriously. Is there a Willy Wonka 1, 2, 3, and 4? Is there a Titanic 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? Is there a Wizard of Oz 1, 2, 3, and 4?
There are exactly. A bunch of okay.
I like that he can in his mind see 4 Willy Wonkas, 4 Wizard of Oz's, but he can see 5 Titanic movies.
Yeah, there are 2 Titanic movies.
I know there's the Titanic 2, the second one. I think that's even what the subtitle is, but I'm just in amazement that he's like, there could be 4 Willy Wonkas, but there's not. But I couldn't imagine what the fuck 5 Titanics look like. Unless it's all like when you die. Like if you survive the Titanic, if you were to die later down in the road in your life, you just live the afterlife back on the Titanic.
Better late than never.
Like everyone just shows back up dead and the afterlife is just living in the nether realm on the Titanic still.
Isn't that just Ghost Ship?
Outside of the opening, I've never finished Ghost Ship.
That movie's fucking trash, so don't worry about it.
I wasn't.
Trash! You never hear me say that about movies. I like fucking everything. But I saw Ghost Ship in theaters on Halloween night. Because I was with a bunch of people. We worked at a haunted house, and then when we got done working the haunted house, we're like, we got to go see a horror movie. That's like Halloween night tradition. It was for like 4 years in a row. And oddly enough, they all were fucking Dark Castle movies or Ghost House or whatever fucking. So it was like 13 ghosts 1 year.
Dark Castle, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, Dark Castle. And I hate Ghost Ship. I hate it. Like, I don't hate movies. But that movie, I wouldn't piss on if it was on fire. I can't stand it.
So we have two now. We have Ghost Ship and then the Fog remake. If we can just find two more movies that Roger just absolutely hates, we've got an absolute hate month coming for live streams.
Oh my God, please don't ever do that to me.
Hate, 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 hate. It's the hate of Play a Haters Club Ball. And we're talking movies Roger hates.
Dude. Yeah. That's what sells. That's what fucking people love to watch, is people complain about movies. So, you know, I mean, look at 90% of the YouTube horror community. They're all fucking on their soapbox bitching about the new Texas Chainsaw right now, or any movie that comes out. They just hate it. Everybody hates everything.
Everyone hates everything. That's our quote that we've decided here at 3B Videos. Everyone hates everything. So hate, 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 hate. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta go switch out Dead Meat's Mama's Dish.
Well, now that we're done with the two Amazon one-star reviews.
The two ones, it's time to lace up the boots. Hopefully not have a heart attack. Cue up the Lemmy. It's time to play the game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It's all about the game and how you play it, and I want it all and you will take it.
Woo, the dream demons. They made me this way, or whatever the fucking line is.
Thank you, sir, may I have another? Thank you, sir, may I have another? Give me another.
You know the secret about pain?
If I just stop feeling it, then I can start using it.
Yeah, 3D fucking straight razor to the Alice Cooper eye that is the camera.
You know?
That's right.
While Alice Cooper does a great hayseed looking character, I think Lemmy could have done a better job.
Oh my God, with that big boil on his fucking cheek.
Oh God, you can already see it. You can already hear it and see it coming out of his head.
Ready, ready for it, boy. You've been away today, Tookie. That's time to take your medicine. It's time to play the game.
Freddy!
This ain't a me illusion, is a mystery. All the change you know what I see. Look at them welts, they're gonna be.
BB.
Bubble.
Deadly Friend reference. Holy shit, but that's right. It is time to play the game. And what is the game exactly? The game is a deep cut in and of itself. So, you are to pick a prop from the movie, but it cannot be a well-known prop, so do not pick Freddy's hat, sweater, glove, etc. It's got to be a deep cut prop from the bowels of the film. So don't pull no bullshit.
Go deep or go home.
I love the go deep or go home business.
Yes.
But, so do you want to go first, since you spent a lot of time thinking about your prop, Evil?
Sure, I will totally go first, because I'm always trying to think of what an oddball weird thing is to take home. I love the prop game. So the first thing I was going to go with was Bob Shea's ticket stub that he slides over to John Doe. But I was deciding, and I like that it's in the description of the game, you don't pick Freddy's hat, glove, sweater. But in this one, I will bypass the ticket stub for Freddy's hat, but hold up, I want his bus driver hat.
Oh, that's different. That's a whole different ball of wax. I'm okay with that. That's cool.
No. I kill the bus driver. Bus driver. What bus driver? And I like that aspect, too, is this is our second time that Robert Englund's driving a bus in the Elm Street series.
Bob Shea was like, yes, I got what I wanted.
Hey, I got him driving it in two, and here he is doing it again in six.
Oh, man, that's an excellent prop. That's a weird prop.
Absolute tone setter for the movie is, all right, that's what you're going to get, is a dude getting plowed by a bus, but he just sticks to the front of the fucking thing.
Yeah, and then he cuts a hole in nighttime. Like a fucking cartoon.
It is a straight up cartoon body shape, like
fucking Rick Dukeman from the Burbs shit going on.
Yeah, like Suburban Commando, like yeah, that classic cartoon body shape falling through time and space, which yeah, if you absolutely dig that and the soundtrack, I do recommend also, if you don't watch our live stream of Freddy's Dead, go back and comb through our YouTube archives. Look up the music video we did for this this movie. So enjoy that.
Yeah, that was a good time.
I love that video.
Yeah, you had a lot of fun.
I did. I had a blast.
Had a lot of fun putting that together. Boy, as far as a prop goes for this movie, this one's kind of tough for me.
I'd imagine it would be.
There's a lot of weird, quirky things in this movie.
You could take that Tiger Electronics team and flip it. Probably make about $180, $200 off of it just because of its Tiger Electronics nostalgia alone. Add on that it was in a movie, you could probably triple that price.
Well, we talked about it already because it is one of the film's biggest conundrums. So I want the newspaper with the portion of the
9-10 Never Sleep Again.
I would like that. So I think that would be kind of a neat thing to have down here hanging on the wall.
Oh, maybe I should switch it. I want the 7-8 Stay Up Late just so I can have it and be like, hey, it was never in the movie. That's because I own it right here.
Right here. You know what? I changed my mind. Keeping in vain with newspapers, what I want is the missing children's scrapbook that's at the school.
Oh, they're going to be like the drawing. You're such a little artist.
Catherine. No, they're looking at it at the school. What happened here? Freddy happened here. All the headlines of all the dead, missing kids and shit. Yeah, give me that big, giant fucking scrapbook filled with production assistants' kids' photos.
Yeah, make sure you just have, like, a certificate of authenticity, because otherwise that's definitely going to get you reported by somebody. Like,
right.
He's killing people, and we're next.
Yeah, if I die unexpectedly of, like, a heart attack and there's some shit, and then my fucking family finds a scrapbook of missing children.
Yeah, because guaranteed your children will be like, he was killing people, probably. They're not going to think, oh, this is because he really loves Freddy's Dead. He got the right. His prop from the movie.
Dad had secrets, just like Freddy in the movie, so there's my tie. That's perfect.
Same thing, they'll look at mine and be like, man, he just really dug bus drivers, apparently. Maybe he always wanted to drive one. I don't know.
Yeah, just never got the chance to take that bus driver exam or what the fuck ever they got to do.
They'll bury me with the hat and they'll throw it in the grave as they're putting the dirt on me. Like, he's driving that big Greyhound in the sky now on the highway to hell.
You'll notice my driver's license is a Class 3 driver's license. And that vehicle outside,
that big recreational vehicle, that's mine.
This bar's for truck drivers.
I am a truck driver.
And these are my friends. Oh, From Dusk Till Dawn references, deep cut.
We are all welcomed at the Titty Twister, where definitely they serve the best Mexican food in Mexico.
Kind of doubt that.
Oh, I fucking love that line, because that is very accurate. You got any food? Best Mexico. I highly doubt that. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, that seems like a sketchy place to get food from. Like,
Guy Fieri, I'm sure, has been here and has given this place the approval of Flavor Town, for sure.
Yeah. Fucking John Taffert, shut that shit down, son. You get hepatitis in the fucking Titty Twister.
That's where you get that white lightning flash again. Ooh. Going back to that Q-tip. Tie it all back.
Yeah, you visit the Titty Twister, and when you leave, you get the white light test.
We're tying this show better together than they did for this entire film.
That's true. We got this. Some may say that we do this for a living.
I'm living and doing this, so yeah, I could say that.
Damn right. But on that note, I suppose, something, something, something. There's a lot of movies out there. And somebody's got to watch them, so why not us, right?
But Roger, this isn't Springwood.